That's who I'm going to be bragging on this morning is Jesus. Jesus. In Matthew chapter 12, one verse of scriptures, 42. And then we'll be taking the background from 1 Kings chapter 10. Jesus Christ is so much greater. Greater than Solomon. Greater than Solomon. Did you know that Jesus Christ was a great man? Jesus Christ was speaking there in Matthew chapter 12. He was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they was criticizing him, and they was looking for signs. Jesus Christ told them there will be no signs except the signs of Jonah, where he is 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. But he said, he says the Ninevites would rise up against the generation that he was speaking to because they believed the preaching of Jonah and they repented of their sins. And then we find out in this verse of scripture, verse of scripture 42, for the queen of Sheba many, many years ago heard of the great knowledge and wisdom of Solomon, that God had blessed this man above all kings, about all old people of the world, his knowledge that God had given him. And it says in the Bible that God gave it to him and all the wealth. He is probably the wealthiest man that ever lived in the history of mankind. Jesus also talking about Solomon, telling those scribes and those Pharisees, the one that's greater than Solomon is here. Now they criticize him, and it's easy to criticize people. It don't take much size to criticize. The world will still criticize Jesus Christ. They was criticizing him 2,000 years ago, and they still criticize him today. They criticize him by not worshiping him. They criticize by not serving him. They criticize by not obeying him. Many, many different ways. But the Pharisees was masters of criticism, and they criticized Jesus Christ. But they were so blind. They were so blind as many today. And this is what Jesus Christ said to those Pharisees and the scribes that were so blind it was criticizing that Jesus Christ here today. And then he says in verse 42, Matthew 12 and 42, the queen of the south, that's Queen of Sheba, shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just pray for the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit of God in this group here today. Father, we just pray for the warmness of the Holy Spirit of God to bring us closer to you. And Father, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God might take the Word of God and reveal Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to us into a very, very real way today. The hearts might be laid open today, Lord, that you might come, if they won here today, and accept Jesus Christ. Whatever the Lord has put on your heart, we pray that you will obey and you will come. Because we know that, God, that you're so gracious and so merciful to us each day. But Father, this one is called Jesus, Lord, many years ago. And how he's talking to these scribes and these Pharisees about their criticizing him. And then he tells them, you know what, that one here is better than old Solomon. So we thank you today, the day that Jesus Christ is here. And the blessings that we're going to receive because we know that he's with us. All these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ said, when I go away, I will send a comforter with you. He went away. He sent the comforter as the Holy Spirit of God. Here today, he represents Jesus Christ. In our hearts, those who have not accepted him, he's in your midst this day. If we could understand what the scriptures are trying to tell us today, the Pharisees, they was very religious people, as a lot of religious people are today. But they knew about King Solomon and all of his glory and all of his great impress that he had for the world at that time, for the wealth that he had. The Queen of Sheba, she came from a long ways off. It was a very difficult and dangerous trip. But she wanted to see what all this glory, which she's heard about for so long, about old Solomon. She wanted to hear about it. Jesus Christ said, there's much greater than Solomon here. Right here with us. Now here today, we don't have Solomon, but I'm going to tell you what, we got somebody greater than Solomon here. The wealthiest man, the strong king, but we got somebody better than Solomon here today. Right on our fingertips, right in our breath, right with us each day. And I'd like for you to understand this today. So many people are blinded to the fact that Jesus Christ is not with us. You know, and these old Pharisees, they was blinded, they was arrogant. you know what, but they missed the great blessing because they did not see one greater than Solomon with them at that time. And Jesus was speaking to them. I want to tell you, the greatest persons ever lived on the face of this earth, old Solomon and King David, there have been a lot of people that's lived, been great people, great wealthy people on this planet earth. But there's nobody been greater than Jesus Christ. But you see, I never met Solomon. I've read about him in the Word of God. I never met him. I have to take what the Word of God says as the truth, and I know it is. How great man he was, how much wealth he had, what all had he done. But you see, we got somebody right here with us that's greater than old Solomon. And we need to learn that and understand that he's with us. And then we go to explain the greatness of Solomon, but then Jesus Christ always supersedes this man is called Solomon. As the Pharisee says, you know what? Well, Solomon, they knew about him. He was their hero. He was their rich king. These Jews and these Pharisees was Jews. Solomon, they said, you know what? He was a great king. He was a son of David, one of the greatest two kings. And then he says, Jesus Christ, you know what? You were just an old carpenter. And then, so you know, Solomon was born in a palace, in a great, great, beautiful palace. And they said, Jesus, you was born in just an old stinky stable. And they said, you know, Solomon was born in the great city of Jerusalem. But Jesus, you was born in that little old town called Bethlehem. And Solomon had many, many servants, hundreds of them. But Jesus, you were a servant. And then they said, you know, King Solomon, he wore royal robes. Jesus, you just wore an old poor robe around you. Solomon drunk from vessels of nothing but pure gold. Jesus had to ask a Samaritan woman at the well for a drink of water out of her water pot. Solomon was a very, very rich man, but Jesus, you are a poor man. Solomon had armies after armies after armies, and you know, Jesus, you just got a few followers. Solomon built great cities, but you know, you're just an old carpenter. You just build old plowshares. Solomon lived in great palace. You know, Jesus, you didn't have anywhere to lay your head. Solomon had 1,400 chariots. Jesus, you had to walk where you went. Solomon ate with the queen of Sheba. Jesus, you ate with publicans and sinners. And you telling me that you're greater than Solomon? They missed the fact that Jesus Christ was greater than Solomon. And many a person today will miss the fact that Jesus is the greatest person that's ever lived. And he's right here with us today. And he says that one greater than Solomon is here today. And I want to tell you today where two or more is gathered in the name of Jesus Christ. There's one today that's greater than Solomon for each and every one of us. How can you say that he's greater than ever Solomon had all these things? Think about the great Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. When I think about our great Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm just going to brag on Jesus this morning. It's going to be different. But I think about that song that Margot sings so good, How Great Thou Art. And that's a beautiful song. He's a great, great God. He's been great to me. So the first thing I'd like for you to see, Jesus is greater in his wisdom than old Solomon was. In chapter 10, 1 Kings chapter 10, we see a little bit of this what happening and go begin to unravel what she has said. And it says in verse 1, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with all hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bore spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she had come to Solomon, she communed with him with all that were in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Here she comes and began to ask these questions. It began to pile up in her mind, this king, this great king, and she heard about him, and she wanted to see this king. But Jesus Christ had greater wisdom than Solomon. She asked him all kind of questions, but she could not stump him. He answered everything that she asked him. Why? Well, it says in verse 24 of that same chapter, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. He was that wide because God put it in his heart. That is the reason. If anybody is wise in wisdom today, it's because God has put it in his heart. Solomon wrote several books, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. But you see, Solomon knew a lot of things. He knew about theology, and he knew about biology and sociology. But the Bible says that he also knew over 3,000 proverbs and 1,500 songs, and he could quote them by heart. Can you imagine a mind like that? I can't vote. Quote the first scripture, I'm afraid I might mess up. 3,000 proverbs and 1,500 psalms. And no telling why, because God put it in his heart to recall him. It's because of what God's done for him. Oh, we see that Solomon studied the trees in verse 33 of this same chapter. And he spoke of the trees from the Lebanon, trees of cedar from Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the walls. He spoke also of the beasts and the fowls, of the creeping things, of the fishes. You see, he spoke about all kind of things, all nature of all things. But Jesus Christ was greater than old Solomon. Jesus Christ, you know what, made the trees that Solomon spoke about. And not only that, he spoke about fish. And John 1 and 3 says, all things were made by him. That is Jesus Christ. And without him, there was not nothing made that was made. But yet old Solomon, he studied about fishes. But Jesus Christ, he's the one that took the fishes, and they run into the fisherman's net, and they broke their net. There were so many. You see, Solomon knew about wind. But Jesus Christ says, wind be still. And the wind settled down while he was on that ship, and they laid down his little puppies at his feet. You see, old Solomon knew about ship and navigation. He had a great navy and a great ships and navigation. But you see, Jesus Christ walked on the water where those ships were sailing. Jesus is greater than old Solomon had ever been. Greater than Solomon is here. Solomon, with all of his knowledge and all of his wisdom, he says, I could not be satisfied. No matter how much knowledge and no matter how much wisdom you have, without Jesus Christ, there still will be a longing in your heart greater than Solomon's here. Oh, Einstein, he died in 1955. He said, I felt like a man chained and shackled by my intelligent smallness. He couldn't break away of all the intelligence that Einstein had, but he couldn't break away. He said, I felt like I was in chains because, you see, it would not satisfy him. Study the great knowledge you might have today, but it will not satisfy you without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is great in his wisdom. You can know a lot of things in your head, and a lot of people do, very intelligent people, but their hearts are empty. Greater than Solomon is here. 1 Corinthians 3:30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Ephesians 1:8 says, wherein he hath abound towards us all wisdom and prudence. You know, we study and we have people go into colleges, and that's good, and university, and you learn all these wisdom. But knowledge never satisfies the longings of our heart. And you learn and you study about biology, about life, but you never really learn the person it is life, and that is Jesus Christ. You might study about geology and all the rocks of the ages, but you never come to know the one is rock of ages, Jesus Christ. Jesus is greater than old Solomon. I tell you what, he's greater in his wisdom, but he's also greater in his works. Greater in his works. Solomon and all of his wisdom had changed a lot while he was here on this earth. He built houses. It says there in verse 4 of the same chapter, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, man, it took him 13 years to build that house that he lived in. Anybody ever been to the Biltmore House? Anybody ever seen Donald Trump's house? There have been some great, great mansions and castles built in this world that we're living in. But 13 years to build this house that Solomon lived in. But Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon. John chapter 14, in my Father's house, he says, are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon will ever, ever be. I tell you, old Solomon set a table. It says there in verse 5, and the meat of his table and the setting of his servants and the attendants of his ministers and their apparel, their cupbearers and their ascent by which he went into the house of God He says, oh, there was no more spirit left in her when she saw the great table. She saw the palace and the great table, and everything was set before her. He says there was no spirit left in her. She just fainted. I'm going to tell you, he had a great feast. Simon could not take a little boy's lunch and a few fishes and a loaves of bread and feed 5,000. I tell you one day, greater than Solomon is here. Greater than Sodom, because of the challenge that they had. He could change water into wine. Sodom, you know, he could not serve this bread of life and the water of life. But Jesus Christ says, when you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. He says, now my body is broken for you. Jesus Christ could take this bread and he could satisfy you for all eternity. Have you had the bread this morning? Have you took of the bread this morning that will satisfy you for all eternity? Once you take of that spiritual bread, I'm going to tell you what, you'll never, never hunger again for these things of the world with this spiritual bread. Oh, Solomon could set a table, but I tell you, he cannot set a table like Jesus Christ with the living bread and also with that living water. I'm going to tell you, she saw that table. And she saw that table, but she said, you know what? I can't come. I've got to go home. Whenever Jesus Christ sets the table, you know what he says? He says, come. Did you know what he's saying for you this morning here? If there's a person here that's never accepted Jesus Christ, that I'm setting the table for you today, one that's greater than Solomon is here, he said, all you have to do, friends, listen, he says, all you have to do is understand that you have got a very thirsty soul. You got a soul, and I'm going to tell you, you got a hungry heart. And Solomon could not feel that for you, but I'm going to tell you what, one that's greater than Solomon is with us here today in Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, and he will feel that loneliness in your heart. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ. Realize that you're just a lost sinner, and there's nothing can satisfy your old heart, and ask Jesus Christ that he might come in your heart and forgive you, and you're willing to take about face, and I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ will satisfy you forevermore. Evermore. I'm going to tell you, and then the temple. This great temple in verse 5, he said when he went into the house of the Lord, that great temple, magnificent building, I'm going to tell you that. He had built the greatest, most expensive temple that the Jews had ever had. It took, you know, nearly 200,000 people working on that. Nearly 200,000 people working on it for 7.5 years, Solomon's temple. David gave him all the gold and the silver and everything, but God was the architect for that building. All that great building, never been one since then. Most probably the most expensive building been ever known on the face of this earth was Solomon's temple. And then you see, Jesus Christ has built a great temple. Jesus Christ has built a great temple. Now, where is that temple at? That's in you this morning. That's in every one of us that knows Jesus Christ. And that's a much more beautiful temple. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? Listen, Solomon's temple, the temple that he has built, you see, is gone. But the one that Jesus Christ built, live forever. Forever and forever. You see, when you accept Jesus Christ, you're never ever going to die. Old body's going to perish away and go back to the dust of the earth. But I'm telling you what you're looking at this morning is not the real me. The real me is on the inside. It's called the spirit and it's called the soul. This old body is fashioned to this old world. This body's going back to the world. But there's a part of me that's never going to die. I'm going to quit breathing one of these days. They're going to lay me down and they're going to cover me up. But that's not the real I be. My real me is inside. What God put that spirit when he, you know what? He regenerated my spirit, and I come a living soul, and now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to live forever. Oh, Solomon's temple. I'm going to tell you, salvation is a great thing, but salvation is just not getting man to heaven. Salvation is getting heaven into man. If you're saved here this morning, heaven's in you. That's what he said. Heaven's in you. Have you ever experienced heaven? If you're saved, you have. Oh, some people say, man, I hope I live good enough to get to heaven. I go in there and I close the door. I'll be make it safe. Listen, if you accept Jesus Christ, it's not how good you live. It's what Christ has done for you. And you start living right now for Jesus Christ. That's heaven when you start living for Jesus Christ. Temple's gone now. But I'm going to tell you, the temple that Jesus Christ built will live forever and forever and forever. Jesus is greater in his workers. Solomon had a lot of workers. There it says there in verse 8, happy are they men. Now, Bathsheba, she watched these, and you say, happy are these servants which stand continuously before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. She went and watched him. They began to work on the house of the Lord. She began to study them. She looked. They was going and they was coming. And she said, you know, happy they are. That's the happiest group of people I ever saw. You'd think they'd be like slaves, but they're out there working now for 7.5 years, 200,000 of them working on God's house. And she began to observe the people that's working on God. And the most happiest people, she said, happy are the men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continuously before thee and hear thy wisdom. She just couldn't hardly understand it, the happiness of these people. She saw how it was. John 15:11 also tells us, these things which I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You see, God's children is walking by the Holy Spirit of God, and they continuously courageous with all the joy that we have. I'd like to ask you this morning, do you have joy? Is it joy to come into a place like this and have fellowship with the most beautiful and most wonderful people in the world, not because of who you are, but because of what God done in you? Is that not joy to come and see and have fellowship with one another? He said these are the most joyfulest people. And they come in on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We have fellowship. And everything that everybody does make this possible, they might glorify the Lord and have this joy and have this happiness. This joy and happiness, the world do not understand. People pass by this road all the time while we're having services, and they don't understand what in the world all these cars are doing around this building. They don't understand it because they have never had the true joy of loving Jesus Christ as you love Jesus Christ. Oh, how great it is. The very thing that we get to come, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, I'm going to tell you, we get to come. And I get to preach. But not only that, I like to come if I weren't preaching, the fellowship. And then the people singing. They like to sing and I like to hear it. I mean, that's a blessing. Every time that we come, I get to hear good singing. And I get fellowship with people that I love so very, very dear. And when someone's not here, I miss them. I don't care who they are. I miss them. I want fellowship with them. I get to do this. And then the service, serve the Lord with gladness. It is an honor. It's an honor. So many times people tell me, I don't have to go to church on Sunday night. I don't have to go to Sunday school. I don't have to go to Wednesday. I don't either. You know what I say to my Lord God? Thank you. I get to go. I get to go. If you got to go, something's wrong. There's no happiness if you got to go. Lady says, I can't find it nowhere in the Bible where you got to go to church on Sunday night. I didn't tell her this, but I was going to tell her, I don't find nowhere in the Bible you got to go on Sunday morning either. She went on Sunday morning. It's in the Bible that's joy. We ain't got to. You ain't got to. If you don't want to. If you don't want to, there's something wrong with your wanter. I get to. And it's a blessing to me. It's a blessing to me. Well, what if someone hurts your feelings? Well, if they do more to you than you done to Jesus Christ, will that be different? You need to come. Solomon's now, I'm going to tell you. Solomon's gone. He's not here no more. And this palace that he built, his great house is gone. But not only that, the great temple has been destroyed. You can't see it no more. And the table that he set at that time for the queen is gone. And all the servants were with him. You know what the Bible says? Anybody give a cold cup of water in my name shall not lose his rewards. Every little thing that you do, I'm going to tell you, at Pleasant Hill or any other place that you serve Jesus, I want to tell you, the nursery workers back there, while you enjoying this, they got a battle going on back there. Most of the time, they got a battle. And they're changing diapers. And they're doing this and they're doing that. But I'm going to tell you, they won't be forgotten of what they're doing, the nursery. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord's making notes. We got men up there, can't hardly take time to look out because they're busy all the time trying to keep all this stuff. And all the ones that's doing the singing. And the ones that's doing the teaching here at this church. And all of our deacons, Wednesday night, ones that goes over cooking and tends to all the little ones. I'm going to tell you, greater than Solomon's here. The visitation program. I'm going to tell you, happy are thy servants. When people come, they come because they're happy. And they don't have to, they want to. I come because I'm happy. And Queen of Sheba, she saw the workmen of Solomon, how they was happy and going to work and working on that temple for 7.5 years. All the work, and that was hard work. But you see, it's not hard work when we're doing it for the Lord. I labor pretty well from 40 to 60 hours a week, 7 days a week. That's about how many hours that I put in every day, 7 days a week. But you see, it's joyful for me. It's not a burden to me. It's long and fatiguing. All the hours that you put in for Jesus Christ, no matter what you're doing, God is going to reward you for it. And it's a joy to do it. But you see, the next thing it says, Jesus is greater in wealth. Greater in wealth. Like I said, Donald Trump, Bill Gates, now they built some big houses. I don't know, and they're very wealthy people. But look, it says from 14 to 18, now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603.6 talents of gold. Besides that, he had the merchants or the traffickers or the spice merchants, all the kings, the Arabians, the government of the country. And the king Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold, and 600 shekels of gold went to one target, and he made 300 shekels of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shekel, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon forever. The king made a great ivory throne and laid over it with the beaten gold. I mean, you can imagine the wealth he had. Sheba says, not half of this has been told. And then verse 23, it says, so the king Solomon exceeded all the kings of earth for the riches and for wisdom at that time. How wealthy is Jesus Christ? Solomon is here, but Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon. He had more wealth than Solomon. Why? Psalm says 24:1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and the world and they that dwell therein. And it also says he owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. Little farmers, got 100 head of cows. Jesus Christ owned the cattle of 100 hills. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is rich. And what is this world coming to? It's coming to Jesus Christ. Solomon was wealthy, very, very wealthy. But I want to tell you, he didn't leave me anything. He didn't leave me nothing. No Rockefeller didn't either. But you know what? I am heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Whew. That means share and share alike. Jesus with great wealth. Jesus is greater in worth. Wealth is what man has, worth is what a man is. Verse 9 says, blessed be the God, Lord, thy God, which delights in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore make he thy king to do judgment and justice. Boy, I'm going to tell you, God has crowned him and blessed him. 18 and 19 says, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with beaten gold. The throne was 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and every stay on that side, place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stay. That was a great throne. He made a great throne. I bet it was very, very beautiful, but I'm going to listen to this throne here, the throne of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 5 in verse 5 and 11. And I behold, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, it was numbered of them with 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which was in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such in the sea and all that therein said, blessed are and honor and glory and power unto him that sat upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever. Now that's the throne. That's the throne that'll last forever. Now Solomon had a throne and it must have been beautiful. But I tell you, the throne that Jesus Christ will be on in heaven, Jesus' throne, our Lord will reign forever. They'll worship him. One day in a meeting, a great king came into a room where diplomats was. You see on television a lot. And everybody stood up and honored this great king that came in.
He said, okay, y'all can sit down. He says, I am not the Lord. One man says, I don't want to be disrespectful to you, sir, king. But I stood up because I've honored you. But he said, if you was the Lord, I would have fell at your feet. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Have you fell at feet of Jesus Christ lately? Jesus Christ is great in his worship. Sheba looked. Solomon went into the temple with these great burnt offerings. 2 Chronicles 7:5 said, and the king Solomon offered sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king of all people dedicated the house of the Lord when he got through and he built this. That's a lot of animals slain, isn't it? I mean, that's a lot of animals. But you know what the Word of God says in Hebrews 10:4? For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. But it says in Hebrews 10:12, but this man, greater than Solomon, but this man that I'm representing here today, Jesus, but this man, after he had offered not 10,000 sacrifices, but one sacrifice for the sins of forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is greater than old Solomon. He can save you, and he can save you. Solomon could not save you. O.R.G. Lee, I never will forget about reading so many times of O.R.G. Lee. Back in the early days in South Carolina, there was a great fire. I probably told you about this before. In an old schoolhouse, a schoolhouse built out of wood. There was 2 or 3-story schoolhouses, but it caught on fire. And there, the bottom floor was on fire. Didn't have no fire. Angels didn't have no ladders to get up to the 2nd and 3rd floor. A lot of people saw their kids through the window, and they was burning up. One man saw his son as he pressed his face against that fire, and he could hear that glass, and he could hear his son calling, Daddy, can you save me? And of course, his daddy tried to go in and took strong men to hold him out because of just an inferno fire. Daddy, can you save me? Can you save me, Daddy? And his daddy had to watch as his son melted like a leaf or a flower in a fire. His daddy said, I could never, ever get out of my mind. And his daddy only lived 2 years after that with a broken heart, seeing that sight. Daddy, can you save me? I want to tell you, daddies, mothers, you here today, and I know that you love your kids or you wouldn't be here. And you would probably do anything you could for your children here. But I'm going to tell you, you can't save your children. You can't save your children. You just bring them to where they can hear the Word of God, and do it regular, that they might know the Savior of this world, because you can't save them. You can't save them. Today, Jesus says, serve me. Would you serve him? Science is telling us today, people say, science, can you save me? So no, science says, I can't save you, but I can tell you how to get to the moon. You know, education. Now, we put a lot on education. I'm not against education. Y'all know how ignorant that I am. I can tell you about some facts that's very important, but I can't save you. How about our government? Has no power to make people good. You know, the only one can do this is Jesus Christ in his wonder. Jesus Christ, the only one. No power to make people good. Only Jesus. Jesus is greater in his wonder. And verse 10:7 says, how be it? I believe not the words until I came, she said, and my eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceed the fame which I have heard. She come and she heard this, and she seen for herself all of what she had heard. Now, she heard about old Solomon, but she said, whenever I come and saw with my eyes, half of it was not even told me. The wonder of Jesus Christ, the same people. You know, I believe I've preached to people. I believe I have, is already in heaven. I've done a lot of funerals for people I preached to. And I believe there's a lot of people I preached to is already in heaven. And I can just imagine some of them say, well, I wonder why IB didn't tell me how beautiful this was and how wonderful this place is. I want to tell you why I didn't tell them and why I can't tell you, because I don't know. But I can just tell you about Jesus Christ. And what he's done for you, he's greater than Solomon. How wonderful it is. Matthew 12:24 says, the queen of the south shall rise up against in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, it greater than Solomon's here. I want to tell you here today, no matter what you read, how great Solomon was, I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ is here, and he's greater than Solomon ever will be. He's my great Savior and my great Lord. Now, but I tell you, if you're here today, we're going to have a song of invitation in just a moment. But I'd like for you to bow your heads so we can go into the world of prayer right now. Father, I know that you have visited the heart here today. And Lord, we know that you're greater than Solomon. You're greater than any other man because you are God. Father's a person that has just not had it figured out right. Father, there may be a person here that's tried and tried and tried. So many different ways they just need to try Jesus. Father, I'd ask you, Lord, in a very special way, Lord, that you might give them the strength, because faith comes from you, that you might give them the strength to enter into this relationship with you. And all they'll have to do, Father, just get up out of that pew. And Father, you will help them walk down this aisle, and we will discuss the things that they need to know about Jesus Christ. Father, if they're not saved, we know they can be saved, whosoever will. And we're asking you here this day, you need to come. Not come to join a church, although you need to. You're not coming to meet me, but you need to come to meet that person that's greater than Solomon for all the wonders of the world is of Jesus Christ. So would you come this day? And Father, will you coming, Father, others would come. And I know, Father, that mothers and fathers here have little ones. And Father, when they bring this little one into the world, it's going to spend somewhere for all eternity. And Lord, I'm going to tell you what you write on that young person's heart and mind is going to last for all eternity. What are you writing on it? How are you being obedient to the word of God and to Jesus Christ? Father, we thank you for what you're doing, and your name might be glorified this day in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Brother Orville. God's speaking right now. They're coming to the altar. Anyone? Salvation, membership, rededication. Whatever God has spoken to your heart. Or you want to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Isn't it so good, no matter what we do, all we have to do is take one step toward Jesus Christ and he forgives us. I thank him every day for salvation. That door that I open up, it says, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. And when he forgives you, you don't have to tomorrow say, well, did you forgive me, Lord? Ask him one time. He says, I don't remember what you're talking about. No matter what you've done, he will forgive you. Won't you make it right? I'm going to tell you one greater than Solomon's here with us today. Do you want to see your family in heaven again? Think for just a moment, without him, where would you be? Where would you be without Jesus Christ?
God bless you, and we thank you. And I'm going to tell you, whether you believe it or not, one greater than Solomon is with us today.